Hello and welcome to the very first ABW Radio Live of the season. ABW Radio, home, away, win, lose. ABW Radio is your place to share your Arsenal views. So,
it did, didn't it?
Anyone would think I might have written that, especially for the show this season.
I'm not here.
No, you're not here. Well, thankfully, Daniel, you are finally here.
Do you want to explain to our lovely listeners why I was late? And it's John Walsh's fault.
John Walsh, is he related to John Welsh? Or? Oops.
I don't even know what I'm saying.
You don't know what's going on, do you?
Good job you were talking and no one heard that you had your YouTube still going. That reminds me. Where is the link for YouTube?
It's in the chat box on the side.
I wasn't here in time. And I'll go and find it because I'm clever like that.
Okay. Yes, Danny was late because he thought for some strange reason we were starting at 6:30. Right, so let's just clarify now so everybody knows. ABW Radio this season will be starting on the hour after a game finishes. So in other words, if like today we finish at 10:50, it will go live at 6 p.m.
Because Johnny W, as we call him, JW, the Beardmeister, said a quarter of an hour after every game was too soon. They wanted half an hour, and that's what I thought we were doing. So I've been sat here, we've all set up, ready.
Well, didn't John Jason just say that?
Possibly, but they don't make the rules. I do, damn it.
Jason makes the rules. He tells us what to do.
Well, the country will be soon.
Jason.
Anyway, as you can gather, I've got Danny with me, and I've also got Tom, fresh from his Italian travels, with me as well. So,
ciao.
Afternoon to you both.
Ciao,
we've got a lot to get through in a short space of time now, so we're not blaming you at all, Danny.
Are we still doing an hour?
Yep. Well, just short of, so let's crack on. So football's back. We lost. We'll see you in 2017-18. Cheers, everybody. Good night. Danny, thoughts?
I'm just about to send out a wonderful tweet about it. Normally, if this was partway through the season, I would be furious. I'd be saying, this isn't good enough. Something's got to change. I'm not having it. First game of the season, doesn't really matter. They weren't all that brilliant. We weren't all that brilliant. We weren't terrible. They weren't terrible. It was a bit like a pre-season friendly. People getting used to playing in their positions, new players settling in, injured players coming back, interesting atmosphere. Plus, we both play similar style of football. Both like to quick, pacey football, attacking football, counter-attacking football. I thought we were very, very similar. But it was the age-old thing of if you're going to let a goal, the worst time, according to managers, and Chris would know, the worst time to concede a goal is just before half-time when you're winning. Well, doesn't matter if you're winning or not. And then the second worst time to concede a goal, straight into the first beginning of the second half. So the worst two times to concede a goal is the two times we did it. And at 4-1, I thought, this isn't looking good. But it shows hope for the season, the fact that we're 4-1 down, a bit demoralised. The Ox comes on, who is one of my favourite players at the club now. And just like the goal when he scored in pre-season, the goal against Monaco, this was another one to stick down. It may have come off another player, but this is one of those wonderful goals that will go down on his resume. And it's just an interesting game. I didn't clap any of the things. I didn't boo. I didn't get angry. In fact, I laughed. 4-1 down, I laughed. And I thought we'd probably get this back to 4-4. But out of the whole of 18 ABWs, only two of us predicted a loss, me and the Shredder. And miserable. I'm not happy about that. I always see a lot on Twitter before the game. I say a load of shit trying to jinx it. I say, we're gonna concede five. Oh, it's going to be a nightmare. And it actually was. You know what? How I'm like with predictions. I'm bloody useless.
I wish you'd be more useless, to be fair. Tom, just initial thoughts as well.
Yeah, well, naturally, you're disappointed after the game. I mean, it started well, I thought. I thought we were all over Liverpool. They hadn't started how I thought they'd be, the high-energy tempo that Klopp likes to play. It wasn't a Klopp-like performance in the first half whatsoever. And Alberto Mourinho, he definitely didn't play like a Brazilian anyway today, but he was the worst player on the Premier League pitch I've seen in a long time in that first half. He was dreadful. And what shocked me was we were so good at attacking him with Walcott and Alexis dropping out on that side sometimes. And in the second half, we just thought, we're Arsenal. We're going to do something different. We won't do that again because it was working. And we just got completely stuffed in terms of in the counter-attacks they put and the pressure they put on us as well. Mane was allowed to run through our defence like anything. Our full-backs didn't play particularly well. Bellerin did his typical large-ditch defending sometimes, but he got in behind when he was out of position. And Monreal was decent in patches, but wasn't especially brilliant for us in terms of the performances we know that he can put out in terms of what he did last season. And when Xhaka came on, all he seemed to do was foul people. I don't know. There was a few calm passes that it was quite calm and collected, but he can't be just coming on and kicking the shit out of people because it's pathetic and pointless to do that when you're behind and you're giving away free kicks. I mean, what is the point? You want to be calm and collected. If you're gonna miss the ball, just don't make the challenge and let the play continue and let someone else get there if they can do. But there's no point taking a player out when you're losing and you need to get the ball at the other end of the pitch. So overall, it's disappointing. But I mean, a lot of people will say they saw it coming. You can go to the business we've done this so far this summer. The fact that we've not brought in a centre back and we've left two young, inexperienced centre backs to play our first game against one of the better sides in the league. And they've brought in the likes of Wijnaldum and Mane, and they were two of their most decent players on the pitch. Wijnaldum was okay, and Mane scored a brilliant goal, as I say, and was energetic and lively throughout the whole game. So it's just, you look at it and say, if we'd have made a few more signings, we might have had a bit more quality, a bit more strength and depth, and been able to tackle the game better.
Yeah, some good points made there. We should say, just before we go into our next topic, thank you to everyone who's tuning in. Thank you to all the regulars. There's a couple of new names in there. Just a little bit of quick admin. If you are in the live chat, please don't cunt each other off because you will be blocked. So just be respectful to other people's views, even if you don't agree with them. Many thank yous. Right, so Danny, lineup-wise, anything that particularly surprised you? I was probably in the minority that didn't expect Xhaka to start. I know it's divided a lot of people.
I'm saying it's all pre-season. I wouldn't start him. You don't buy a new player unless he is an absolute worldie and start him straight into the team. The best way to do it is you bring him off the bench. Or start, don't even have to bring him off the bench. Just leave him on the bench, and then if you need him, bring him on. But you can't, when we have the likes of Coquelin, who's done so much good for us, Elneny, who's just a delight to watch with wonderful hair, when you've got those two playing, it's not fair to bring them in. And plus, I think you need to slowly ease a player in, a new player into the formation and into Premier League football. So I didn't expect it. I said it in the pre-season ones that we did, and people told me I was stupid and I was wrong. But I was a bit surprised that Holding played. I thought he was brilliant. Really, really good debut from the bloke, especially the first half. He looked really composed, really good. I don't care how long Chambers' beard is. He's still a very young man, and he needs to get rid of that beard. And those top-knot twats, see, I didn't use the C word there, they need to sort their lives out as well. They're a bloody embarrassment. What do they look like? Just sort your hair out. I was surprised that Sanchez played up front. I think it probably would have been better, I say play up front, you know, it's the first half. Ramsey was our most forward player for the entire game. And other than that, maybe, I'm just looking at it now. There's nothing really massively different I'd have played. Looking at it, you would have said maybe play Sanchez wide, play Walker up front. But with the way it turned out, Walcott and Ramsey got forward more than Sanchez did anyway. So it's just that age-old thing of just because it shows here on Soccerway a formation doesn't mean that's the way that they ended up playing the game. So other than maybe starting Monreal at centre-back and Gibbs at left-back rather than Holding, that's the only maybe thing I'd have thought that could have possibly done differently. But, yeah.
It's a tough one to pick. Tom, were you just sort of in that lineup again, just specifically the defence, were you surprised at all with the young partnership of Holding and Chambers when they were announced to start?
No, I wasn't. There are two natural centre-backs, the best ones we've got available at the moment, and although Debuchy can play there, I haven't particularly been impressed with him in pre-season when he played in his natural position. He's been very rash with similarity to Xhaka in that way, and during pre-season giving away fouls we didn't need to. So I wasn't too keen on that occurring. And then the other option was obviously to bring in Natro and play Gibbs. And Gibbs is still to convince me again that he's good enough to play for Arsenal Football Club in some ways. So I was happy that the two players started. Listening to Sky Sports before the game started, and Omri was speaking about it's a chance for these two to prove that they are good enough for Arsenal. I thought Chambers was decent. To be honest, I think me and you speaking before the game, Chris, they weren't the problem today defensively. They were decent, and the goals that we let in, especially when people looked at that Coutinho one, there was a stunning effort. A lot of element of luck, you can say, coming off your shin, but you got to angle your leg, and I thought there was nothing much you can do when the ball's flashed across like that. You want to say just get it clear, but these are young guys, they're inexperienced and they'll learn. But a point on the defence was people saying, oh, why isn't Koscielny playing? And I think Jamie Redknapp and Graham Souness also brought this up and said, if you're playing Liverpool in the first game of the season, whether he's fit or not, you ring him up and say, we need you. Well, I'm sorry, but that's utter bollocks, because we've got because Gabriel and Matazaka are out injured at the moment for a long time. We know Koscielny isn't match fit, and there's a big difference between fitness and match fitness, and he's not match fit, and he's probably not totally fit either. And we can't afford to be playing Koscielny, and if he gets injured and that's three out, even with Mustafi in, if he does come in, then that's ruined our defence for the rest of the season. We've only one other backup with Mustafi and either Chambers or Holding as your established two centre-backs. That's just not strong enough to get you through the league, and you need to be cautious in some ways. And someone raised the point, oh, it's not a physical position in terms of running and that. Well, I'm sorry, but we play such a high line of our defence at times, and Koscielny is such a mobile centre-back, he's going to be running all over the place. And if he's not fit, and if his muscles aren't in the right place, he can pull something any time of the day. So, and everything rude of everything saying Tom, players get injured all the time. Yes, but there's also higher chances at times where players can get injured compared to just from matters of risk and random faults. So,
like when they come off the bench without warming up properly, similar
exactly,
to
Sheffield Wednesday. Exactly. Stuff
like that. Only if Dom agrees, though, because we could both exactly. be wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So players can get injured all the time, but you don't want to put them in the situation where you raise that risk of injuring them even more, because that's just naive.
Are you seriously saying to me that somebody said to you that centre-back is not a very physical position?
In terms of...
I have never had so much utter bullshit in my entire
life. Physically demanding in terms of
what
running,
a load of
I think.
Yeah. Sorry.
In terms of running, I think it was more...
What a complete load of rubbish. So that person, whoever you are, sorry, but you don't understand the game of football, I suggest you take up billiards. Okay, Danny, something I want to touch on with you. Bit of a round. I mean, we could just sit here and go through the goals, but quite frankly, that would be both boring and depressing in equal measure. Yeah. What conceding goals? Obviously, 1-0 up. A lot of people sort of went for Holding for that impetuous foul, which resulted in the free kick. I wasn't one. It's going to happen when you play young centre halves. You know, you learn from those mistakes. That's how you become better. But do you think that the game management element was a little bit lacking, in that we came out for the second half and we never got started? And that has got to be a concern, that the players are coming out for the second half, whether it be mentally prepared, whether it be slightly switched off, whether it be comfortable, or was it purely because they were sort of affected by the fact that they conceded so close to half time?
I think you can imagine the situation at half time in the dressing room. Wenger was with them, and rather than going, what the LNL have you done, you morons? You were 1-0 up, coming into the final minutes of the first half. You fucking let a goal ring, you absolute twats. He probably went down and went, it is okay. And that was it. That's probably all that he said. Whereas Klopp would have gone in there, and then they'd gone, oh, well done, fantastic, you've scored. It's back to 1-1. Go out there the second half, really rile the players up. That's what will get them all going, get them all passionate about the game. Go, come on, look, they're on the back foot. If we go out there, second half, play to our ability, we can get more goals. And that's exactly what happened to end up to be got to the point where it's 4-1. Wenger isn't the kind of manager now, or possibly for some time in the last many years, where he actually fills anybody with confidence. He probably said virtually nothing. It's been reported by ex-players that says he doesn't really do anything in the dressing room at half-time, maybe talk to a few players or put his arm around them, whereas Klopp has gone in there and he's filled them full of confidence, and they've come out and they've shown it. It's just because Mingele is useless and they got that Clavan at centre-back who's rubbish, and Moreno was a bloody
joke.
Which bit?
Clavan is not rubbish.
He's 102 years old.
Doesn't mean he's rubbish. He's better than Martin fucking Skrtel.
Well, I preferred Skrtel. I thought Skrtel was always good for a few goals.
Yeah, but he's a centre-back, for Christ's sake. That's not what you really wanted to be good at.
Would you be happy if we'd have bought Clavan?
As a squad player, I'd be happy if we had you at the moment, Danny, to be honest.
No, I don't rate Clavan, I don't rate Lovren, I don't rate Mourinho, and I don't rate Mingele. That's the only reason we managed to get three goals. And I thought, Cech can't be held at fault for that free kick, because if a free kick, if you put it in that corner, unless you have the ability to float, no goalkeeper on this planet is going to ever save any of those, because you cannot physically get to that corner unless you're standing in that side. And if you're standing to that side, then he's going to go in the other corner. It's just Coutinho is just a free kick specialist, and they're absolutely brilliant. So and plus we missed a penalty, and it's nothing worth getting angry about. I mean, I'd rather it be a a seven-goal thriller than a nil-nil bore. First game of the season, things like this happen all the time.
People have short memories for Petr Cech as well. They do seem to forget that he had arguably the best defence in the league in front of him for 3 years, and now he's kind of got, well, stuff and things in front of him.
Did you see how... Well, another thing that surprised me... Oh, there's food in my beard. Another thing that surprised me was how far, when we had the ball, when we were just about to get the ball, Monreal and Bellerin were. They were at the halfway line most of the time. I thought if you had Chambers and Holding playing there, you'd be... Wenger would say to him, look, just go back and give him a little bit more cover. And then if it went down the right-hand side, Bellerin would run down the left-hand side, then Monreal would fall back a little bit to try and make a kind of three in defence. But I thought the two full-backs left the two centre-backs very exposed, especially in the first half, which we didn't concede any goals apart from the last minute. So what do I know?
Yeah.
I couldn't pick food out of my beard. I think it's cereal.
Oh, beautiful. Cheerios.
No, it's Country Nut Cornflakes. Those are the best.
Tom, any concerns about the fact that obviously we had a shortage of forward options today, and yet on the substitutes bench, no sign of a lesser spotted Joel Campbell. I mean, is this just further further confirmation that the manager just doesn't like him, just doesn't rate him?
I don't know. I don't know if Wenger's done his post-match press conference and if he's actually said anything on the matter. If anyone's seen it in the chat,
he's talking now, but I'll try and pick some stuff out. Go on.
sorry, Ellis Mel just tweeted me saying, "Oh, Tom, look, you look so tanned." But I don't know with Joel Campbell. I liked him in pre-season. I think he was impressive. But I mean, he it's going to be tough when you've got the likes of Oxlade-Chamberlain and Theo Walcott, who had a good pre-season in terms of, I know people are going to shout at me and say, oh, Walcott was only good for the Man City game, but I thought he was okay in the Chivas game as well. And Wenger likes Walcott, and there's a lot of faith in him. So that's why it's difficult. It's not me saying he should be there. It's difficult because of the mentality of the manager in some ways. But I think Joel Campbell is good enough to be considered for this squad, at least. I mean, the play that he had in pre-season with his movement and his finishing has improved significantly as he's progressed in this side, and he's finally got a chance to be in the Arsenal side instead of going on loan so much. But I mean, should we really be I'm going to sound like John here and say, should we really be at a Joel Campbell level? I'm not particularly convinced that Joel Campbell is good enough for Arsenal Football Club in some ways. But it's what we got at the moment, and we have to deal with that. I think we should be bringing in someone better in that position. I think me and you, Chris, you and I have agreed that Theo, it's time that he moved on. He hasn't progressed enough in the time that he's been here. He's £140,000 we could be better spending somewhere else. But in terms of Joel Campbell, he's a decent squad player, but I don't think, as I agree with you, he's not getting the chance that he should be getting under Wenger. And I think there are players in that side that don't deserve to be there, and Joel Campbell is one of the ones who does.
It's Wenger was just saying that we were unlucky to concede the free kick, that we had we suffered from a lack of experience at the back, and it was very clear that some players are not able to go 90 for the full 90 minutes.
Which raises more questions than answers, because the element of the players not being ready is a concern, because they've had a pre-season like everyone else.
Liverpool were, so...
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you could argue that Liverpool had a few that were signed from other clubs who have not had too much to do over the summer, I suppose. I mean, it's hard to know, isn't it? Every club's different. You know, our medical department has long been opened to things and stuff, so I don't know. I don't know. I just it is a concern, at least, but... Danny, what did you make of Theo? I mean, I chucked out a tweet earlier on. I just said the hungry, committed, angry Theo Walcott could stick around, but I'd like it over 38 games, please, sir. Thank you. So, I mean, it's all right doing it once, isn't it? It's all right. And he did look good, I thought, today. You know, he did look hungry, and he does look like a player who almost knows that we could replace him if he doesn't step himself up to a higher level. So what did you make of him in general today?
Well, according to whoscored.com, he was our second best player. You know, an Opta rating of 7.7, only marginally behind Chambers on 7.9. It was, I think, Wenger tried. I mean, that's up to ratings. I thought he did maybe one or two things in the first half, and that was it. Really, he's very anonymous. I don't think he said now that he wants to play right-sided winger midfielder. That's not his position either. He doesn't seem to do it. He's very lacklustre. Mr. Invisible yet again. I don't know why he took the penalty. I mean, how many people out there thought, "Oh, we got a penalty. I want Theo to take it." I'd have had half the team taking it before Theo, and then. It was good that he come back straight after. I think it was 64 seconds, 68 seconds after the penalty miss, and a lovely bit of work by Sanchez, and Theo scored the goal. But that isn't the kind of attacking display that you would think that, oh, that's Theo starting definitely next game. It's difficult to know what to do with him, because no other clubs apart from West Ham who go, "We'll have everybody. How much money do you want? We'll write you cheques," because our stadium's costing us £5 a year to live in, all the taxpayers are paying for. No one has really come in with any serious bids that we know of, and as we always say, we don't really know anything. Well, I don't know anything. I only go by what I've read and what's on Twitter, and what's on Twitter about him is not good. He's got to know that the fans aren't happy with him, that he isn't producing. And they said, even the commentator said a couple of times, that Theo is a Liverpool fan as a kid. And I'm thinking after that, I was going, yeah, I wish he'd go there. But they're not going to want him, are they? He's not going to fit into there. Not when they've got Mane playing on the right-hand side. And they've got the likes of Benteke, who would probably move on. And Sturridge, who is absolutely brilliant when he stays fit for more than 5 minutes. But having Theo started the season, when you look back at the football history books in 10 years' time, and you go, oh, first game of the season, Theo, one game, one goal. Not too much wrong with that, but there's so much more to it than that. I just don't feel that he's going to be an integral part of the Arsenal squad this season, as in doing good stuff for us.
Mm. Yeah, the mythical creature of Theo Walcott, you just never quite know what you're going to get. I think it does have to be said today that Carl, our regular panellist, made the point in the chat earlier on. It does have to be said that some credit has to go to Liverpool. It's two teams on that pitch, and I thought for as bad a spell as we had, they took advantage of that spell. I'm personally still very unconvinced that Klopp can continue this, well, you score four, we'll score five style, because I think it will get found out against better sides than we are right now. But nevertheless.
Another little bit about Wenger. If you want, I'm just listening to the thing as you're, I suppose, the interviewer said, "Does this show you that you need that Arsenal might need more players?" And he went, yes, sure. We have players coming back from injury soon, and we're working really hard at getting maybe one or two players in."
Look, I'll just have a very brief rant on this. Just a brief, well, not rant, but just I'll make a brief point on this. This isn't ABW transfer show, and nor will it be, because it frankly bores me to tears. But, you know, we're all frustrated at certain things. I think we all agree that reinforcements are needed. I think we've known that all summer. And I think we all sort of feel the same way, and that it probably should have been done earlier. But it hasn't been. I know that's a newsflash. I know that's quite a big thing to say. But sorry, chaps, it hasn't been done. All we can do now is trust that we will get the deal is done. The Mustafi deal is close, and that will at least give us something else back defensively. And then it's just a question of whether we can get some form of striker in before the window. But please, guys, you know, don't worry about what you can't control. It's the idea that you just have to buy to improve. I think the question he was asked is actually slightly misleading, because if you're asking him, has he got enough players, I would argue, yes, he does. Has he got enough players of quality? That's a very different talking point, a very different subject. But something else I wanted to touch on today, which will sort of link back to players' ins and outs. Tom, the atmosphere, we said, talking on the podcast the other night, that we felt it had a little bit of a whiff of Villa from a couple of years back. The supporters have largely been quiet over the summer, mainly because we've not had football to talk about. And lo and behold, we're back. We're at home game, and our supporters are screaming abuse and booing the team, having conceded a couple of goals. And here we are again. It's not going to improve if the atmosphere continues to be as it does, is it? Even if people are universally split on the manager.
Yeah, I mean, whenever you talk about the fans, no, it's important to first point out that it's not that we solely put the reason for the loss down to the fans. It's nothing like that. But you have to think that the fans are a factor in a club, and even though sometimes we might not think that the club cares too much about its fans, for the amount that it appears as if all of us and all you guys we see on Twitter, it clearly appears you care very much as I do about Arsenal Football Club. And it's just become so disappointing when you don't see that admiration and passion for the club that's spewed all over Twitter. Spewed's probably not a word, you know, all over Twitter. But it just doesn't. Yeah, it just doesn't come out in the stadium at all. I mean, I think I was listening to Mems the other day, and he was saying about how he was just trying to be positive and just need everyone to just come together and be loud in the stadium.
That last for Mems because he's not known for being positive for long.
Exactly. So. And it was just nice to hear that coming from him, and it's just something that collectively as fans we wish we were together. It's, all I've seen in the chat box today is people saying Wenger out, Wenger out.
Or if we could politely,
if we could just channel that into some sort of positive, just positivity in the stadium, because our away fans are brilliant, and I have a lot of respect for our away fans, and they shout and scream all the game, and you could just translate that into our home stadium. That it's just not a theatre if it wasn't a library. But I think that's what the club want it to be. I think the club want it to be a place where you just come and sit and watch and be entertained. But a football stadium isn't that in a single factor. It's a place where you go to support your club and shout your heart out for it and get behind your team. But that just doesn't come across in the Emirates whatsoever. It isn't a fortress. I mean, I think the slogan is the deeper the foundations, the stronger the fortress. The Emirates isn't a fortress. It's nowhere near a fortress. It is simply a place where people come and expect to be entertained. And I was speaking to someone who's a good friend of mine, and he was talking about, when I go to the Emirates, should I expect to win matches? And I was like, as a fan, you can't really expect to win anything. It's a game of football. Anything can happen. You're not entitled to anything as a fan because there's 19 other teams in the league that want to win stuff. But you should go to the match and you should put your heart and soul into supporting the club. And if that means shouting and screaming or singing your heart out, that's what you should do. But sitting there and just moaning, as you say, Chris, and booing is beyond anything. But what I will say is that a lot of people say that they wish they could shout and scream at Wenger. But when we lose and the camera pans to Wenger walking into the tunnel, all I see is a lot of empty faces looking at him in the stands. I don't see anyone shouting and screaming at him. I just see people standing there. And that shocks me sometimes. I think, this the hatred that I clearly see all over Twitter. And I'm aware that there's only 60,000 people in that stadium and the camera only pans on some of them. But there's an element of bewilderment about them, that they look at this man and we've lost this match, whoever against we're playing, and it happened to be today that we lost to Liverpool. And it's as if the passion does get sucked and it just turns into just a hatred and booing. And nothing good ever comes from negativity. And I think that we've shown that by saying we're going to lose today. Is that going to change our transfer plans? Is it going to make Wenger go and splurge more money over players? Probably not. So the only thing we can do as fans is get behind the team, because negativity is just not going to help.
No, interesting tweet from Ollie Kay, who's a quite well-established journalist. He said, Wenger getting earful, to put it mildly, from some of the Arsenal fans, of the dugout stewards getting involved, not pretty. You know, whether you're a fan or not, it has to be said. David, Mr. Hollick, made a very good point on the show the other night. These people that are saying, it's the majority now, might be the majority of Twitter. Yeah, might well be. Not convinced it's the majority inside the stadium or from some of the local fans. I think the sad part is that some people have just sort of accepted that this is what it is and we just get on with it. And, you know, if we don't expect too much, then we can't be too disappointed, if you know what I mean. And that's a shame. That is a shame, but it's where we are right now.
Did you just say that bit about Matt Harris, what he put?
No, I didn't know.
He said Matt Harris has put, most people at the Emirates are more interested in selfies.
It's true. It's true.
A bow, son.
It's very, very true. And you know, there is a large amount of people that I think do go to games that don't really care. I also think that, and again, I'm sure this isn't just an Arsenal thing. I think that, excuse me, I think there's a lot of people that try and piggyback other people's views on various sort of mediums, generally social media, in an effort to sort of, to use a wrestling analogy, put themselves over a bit, you know, sort of garner popularity from having controversial views. And I don't know, it's a different game now. It's a very different game. And I think that getting behind a team is what we would all like to do. Sometimes it is hard. Sometimes it's really hard. And like you, Danny, I sort of sat back today and just took it in and went, okay, well, that's not the best idea we'll start to the season. But it's football, and you just get on with it. And, you know, I'm sure Leicester City fans are saying exactly the same thing today. So, you know, it is what it is. Just sort of steering it from this game onwards then, Danny, let's just get your thoughts on, we've got what sort of 2 weeks left of the window. People are forgetting, of course, that to bring people in, there's quite a loud statement to say, well, we need to get a few out to get a few in potentially. What's your views on that? I mean, how many would you ideally like to see going out with the potential of replacing them?
All of them. Ban it. 10 years at the Emirates, bloody hell. What a
lot. It's gone by, isn't it?
I remember the very first game there. It was friendly. It was Bergkamp's testimonial.
Carney scored, didn't he?
Yeah. And then the next one was
Melberg.
Was it Argentina-Brazil friendly?
Oh, yes. That was the second game.
Yeah. And then Aston Villa was the third.
Yeah.
I went to all of those back in the day. Debucci, we've paid 12 million for him. He's only played 22 games for us, and his career with us is over. I mean, that was an absolute disaster. He needs to go, partly for himself. Although I said this before, and people said, "Yeah, but we need a decent right back backup." We do, but I don't think he, as a French international, at probably the peak of his career, has been the last year or so. Now that he's 30, because all defenders, when they get to about 29, 30, 31, that kind of age, that's their peak. And he's been with us that whole time and played 22 games. I mean, £12 million. That's unfortunate, because it wasn't his fault that he got injured. And if he wouldn't have got injured, Bellerin wouldn't have come to the fore. So anyway, never mind. I'm just looking down through here. Who else? Ospina's going to stay, which is good, because like someone said recently, he's a fantastic backup. Walcott, I'd love to see him go. I mean, he's had his time now. 85 goals in 344 games. He's been with us since the winter of 2006. Bloody hell. So it's coming up to 11 years. No, yeah, coming up to 10 years this Christmas. That's terrible. Iwobi, Monreal, Sanchez, Chambers, Sanogo. I was talking to George Bird the other. I was talking. He replied to one of my tweets. I wasn't talking to him. It makes it sound like he's a mate. And I asked him where Sanogo. He hasn't. He's not injured. He hasn't been training, and he hasn't been in any of the reserve stuff. And he wasn't playing for the under 23s as it is now, not the under 21s. And he said he's nowhere. He's not anywhere. And it looks like he'll be gone soon. And other people are saying that there's been three offers from French clubs for him to loan. So take that with a pinch of salt. It'd be nice when Gnabry comes back, because he's having a fantastic World Olympics. What's he got? 6 goals in 3.5 games. Well, I can't really see many players there that I do want to get rid of, apart from Debucci and Walcott and Sanogo. But Sanogo we're not going to get anything for.
Squad players, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, if we'll have Jenkinson as a backup right back, who is always good to have him on the bench, because he could probably say centre back as well. But would it be good enough to have Jenkinson as our backup right back? Would you two be happy with that if Debucci does go?
As backup, yes. But the trouble is with backup with Arsenal, which I'll touch on in a second with Tom, is that when you have backups, they're often first team, because we have lots of injured players on quite a regular basis.
But Bellerin doesn't have much of a history of being injured, has he? I mean, last season he played 43 games all comps, and the season before that is when he made that, took over from Debucci. He played 28 games, so he's virtually played 1.5 seasons with hardly any injuries. Hasn't
he? Never did Welbeck until he joined Arsenal.
Yeah, I was going to say he's an Arsenal player, but Danny, you seem to be forgetting the curve.
Give it time.
Tom, is that a concern for you today? I mean, you know, we saw Aaron Ramsey come off with what looks like a muscular injury. Alex Iwobi, it looked like damage to his hip, I would guess, certainly from where he was holding. I mean, you know, is this yet another worry that, obviously, we've already lost Mertesacker and Gabriel. Mm.
Oh,
sorry. Yeah, this season, fitness-wise. Sorry, I've muted myself there.
Yeah.
you've heard what the listeners want. They want you muted. Yeah. You're being far too sensible and calm about the whole situation. Somebody must die. Bring me someone's head on a plate.
It's a great point you make about like how our backup players basically have to be first team players, because they're being used so often. But I think that And I'll just hitch on the point of Danny, what the question you asked Danny, and saying that players like Joel Campbell and that, who are not going to be used, I think they should be sold. However much I don't want them to, sell them on. If they're going, if you're not going to play them, just sell them or loan them or whatever, get them off the wage bill so we can get someone else in. But I think that we do need to. Someone said, "Oh, we don't need numbers." To me, and I was like, "Yeah, I know that, but you need strength in depth, and that's how you win seasons. You don't win a season unless you're insanely lucky, like Leicester were, and you can win a season with basically just 11 players. You don't win. You don't typically win it with just 11 players, and you need that strength in depth to come in. And I think Leicester have been found out the other day when they've lost Kante and Andy King's come in, and he just is not anywhere near the same class of player that N'Golo Kante was, and they suffered and they lost the game because of that as well. So." It's important that we do. Is Jenkinson good enough to be a backup for Bellerin? And if he does get injured, which I'm sure he probably will next week now, I don't know. He had a good season at West Ham. The first year he was there. Second year he was very under par. And when he got injured, it was probably a bit of a blessing to them. But I think that when you look through the squads, when we have if you look at everyone fit, obviously we're without Koscielny at the moment and Pear and Gabriel out for a long time. That we had a decent backup in centre-back area, and I don't think anyone could have even comprehended the amount of defensive insecurity we would get from injuries so early on in the season, to be left with Holding and Chambers, and now it looks like we're bringing Mustafi in, so that's another player. So we'll end up with four first-team centre-backs, so that's good when they're actually all fit. So hopefully Koscielny and Mustafi will create a good partnership. Left-back Gibbs, I'm really not that convinced by. Midfield, we've got loads of players with Xhaka and Ramsey and Wilshere and Ozil and Sani Cazorla and Elneny and Coquelin, and even some of the youngsters that come through. We've got plenty of depth there. On the wings, it's less so. Phil Walcott, I'm not convinced by. Oxlade-Chamberlain's done well so far. Joel Campbell isn't going to get played. Iwobi looks like he's just got injured. Alexis should be playing in the midfield, and a guy called John in the chat asked me about talking about Alexis up front, and in short, he should not be playing up front. He's not a striker, especially not by himself. If he's going to play up front, it should be with someone. But we don't play that system. And up front, it's Big G. And I like the guy, but I don't think he needs competition if he plays well. We've seen that when Walcott was firing as a striker and Giroud's with him, he plays well and he wants to play and he wants to compete for his place. So if we get in someone who can compete with Giroud, or even better, play with Giroud, because that's what I want to see too up front, we might see a lot better from our strikers. But it's a great point that I'm sure you could do our entire podcast on, and I'll try to summarise it there as best I can. So, strength and depth is sometimes more important than the actual starting 11.
I'll let Gib and the crew do deal with that on Thursday. But some good points, and yeah, I think it's fair to say that, you know, if we get a couple of deals done, people's moods will change very quickly. And if we don't, I think a lot of people will just be sat crying, rocking back and forth. But such is life. I also just want to say a few small positives. I think Mohamed Elneny is going to be a really, really good player for us already. I think he is, but I think he showed some signs again today. He's been absolutely superb since he's come in, and he looks completely adjusted now, and I really think he's going to have a big season. I was quite impressed in spells with Oxlade-Chamberlain when he came on. He still gave the ball away, bless him, but I think he's a confidence player. I really do. I think when his confidence goes, he just seems to drift out of games, and that's when you've got to worry. It's good to have Santi Cazorla back fit, assuming he stays fit, obviously. I think he was a big miss last season. One thing I like about Xhaka, I take Tom's point about the fouls, that is a worry that I have, but the one thing that he doesn't do, our friend Simon Collins made this point, he doesn't hide. He was wanted the ball every single time, and even just a few casual sort of sly kicks after challenges are gone, I don't mind that, if you know when to do it, when to get away with it. It's something that John Terry made a career out of, and I'm not against the idea of unsettling an opponent. So there's a few positives there. But Danny, before we take some questions, so then we got one there already, just are you in sort of the camp I'm in where it's like, yeah, you know, it's not ideal. Nobody wants to lose games, but we're here. This is what it is. You know, we've lost to a team that are clearly improving. On to the next one. That's how I see it.
It's going to be this all season. I doubt very much Wenger's going to bring anybody in of any kind of note. I mean, like Steve, Lord Hillwood and Fife have been saying, we've got £200, £250 million that we can spend on players. Fife has shown it with the figures that he's done. I think Swiss Ramble kind of roughly agreed with him when he was on our pod at the end of last season. The money's there. The players are there if we want them. And like with Lacazette today scoring a hat-trick in the first game of the season, it doesn't matter what league it's in. If Sanogo would have done that in League Two, then Wenger would have probably gone, oh, look, there you go, that's a reason to buy him. I mean, to be away, who are they playing?
Away at Nancy, the promoted club.
Nancy. Mm-hmm. And I mean, to get the hat-trick at home, first game of the season, would have been impressive. To get it away, that's even better. They won 3-0. And the players, that's like you said in the WhatsApp group, that's put his value up by another £5-10 million. Especially if he gets one or two more goals like that, games like that before the transfer window. But it's just going to be the same all season. I've said when we're doing the pre-season pods, Man City, Man United, Chelsea, they're all up and away and ahead of us. We're not going to catch any of them lot. Now we're in with Liverpool, possibly Everton and Spurs. So that's the three teams that are going to be around us. And like if Everton buy some more players, because they're going to go big soon. And then there's going to be maybe even Leicester. Leicester are going to be no mugs this season. I mean, they lost the first game of the season, but that's just a bit of bad luck. But we're no longer going to compete with the top three. Not when they're going out and spending £150 million on players and they're players that they need. And you look at the amount of players that Klopp has got rid of at Liverpool and Mourinho has got rid of at Man United. They've shipped loads out. All the young ones, get lost. We don't want you. We're only going to bring in players that are ready to do the job. And that's what they've done. And we're not going to be able to compete with them. And it's just going to get worse. And all season, we're not going to beat any of the big teams. And then we're going to be struggling against them. And we may get a few wins against smaller teams, home and away. Yeah, I'm not happy. I think if we finish maybe fifth, I think that's the best we can do.
Has anyone got a noose?
I think Ray Fox said something about that. He says, you call it a podcast, I call it therapy. And then
I think
someone
Chris
else
is injured. Chris is injured. Chris is muted.
Yeah. I did wonder why it would go on so long.
Carry on, I just replied to a tweet. But
someone else said another good one. He said, oh, come on, where is it? Oh, we go. Olivinho, Scotch out, loading revolver.
It's, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Josh, Nancy are shit, Danny. I'm sure you've seen a lot of their games, Josh.
I've seen none. All I know is how do you spell it? N-A-N-C-Y?
Yeah.
Was your proclaimed centre-back playing?
Nkulu.
The one you said plays for Nancy, you said he's going to be really big. He's
oh, Lenglet. I believe he did. I will double check that.
He did well.
Well, on that very subject, I mean, you know, anybody that I've had a lot of people actually say he did play, in fact, yes. Anybody who's still coming onto my Twitter feed going, well, we shouldn't sign Lacazette because he's crap, because it's the French league. Yeah, bite me.
That's how he got Giroud.
Yeah, exactly. Funnily enough, Manchester United picked up a player from the French league last season. He hadn't done too bad, has he? So, yeah, move on.
Another storming game. When I was listening to I didn't watch the Man United game. I only listened to three quarters of it and watched the last bit. When you think about that, you got Zlatan, Rooney, Martial, Mata. How many goals? They're going to score over 100 goals between them this season. And then think of our equivalent player, Santi, going to go to prison for killing someone in row Z. Giroud's going to get maybe 30. Walcott, 10. Ramsey, 10. Sanchez, 10. Ozil, 5.
Lewandowski, 40. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough, isn't it?
They're going to get 100 players between about four players. 100 goals between four players. We won't score that of our entire fucking team.
Happy times. Happy times. Should we take some questions to round things off? Seems like a good way to... Truguna, like I say, is crap because he plays for Farmers in the French League. Oh, Truguna, you massive troll. Questions, Danny, what have we got? Don John, I think, had a question.
I think that's more of a statement.
That's a statement. I'll read it out. On the booze at halftime, Wenger said, of course it's not nice. We were on a tag game unbeaten run. Unfortunately, it ended today. Yeah, it's just an answer, really, isn't it? That's just a meh.
Just asking them for questions, see what they come up with.
A couple of people have said, why did we not sign Eric Bailey and Eric Mkhitaryan?
I've never heard of him.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I have. I wanted him so bad.
I think he played in Spain then.
I think played for Villarreal. Is he not a Raiola client as well?
Oh, Bailey.
Yeah. I know Mkhitaryan is, so that's why we didn't get Mkhitaryan, because we were very interested in the Mkhitaryan as soon as Raiola came up. That was that. And if you haven't seen the
video... that doesn't like Raiola?
It's everyone, basically, including himself.
Is he one of those global deal people?
He's what is known, Danny, in the trade as a cunt.
I knew that was coming.
So, yeah, and if you haven't seen the video of him attempting to get out of his Lamborghini, it's hilarious.
I'd have got out of that quicker than him.
You would have. It's absolutely priceless. He is a super agent, much in the George Mendes class, Danny. Mm. So I'm very much in bed with Mourinho. I'm not going to say allegedly. Sue me, Mourinho. I've got nothing. What are you going to do about it? You're a fraudster. Anyway, yes, questions. Anybody else got questions? Lazy Python wants to know Lacazette or Mahrez.
Lacazette all day long.
Well, I mean, you know, it's they're two different types of players, because Lacazette can play anywhere across the
front. We don't need someone on the right, do we? We've got Sanchez, the Ox, and Walcott.
Yeah, but Mahrez can play.
We've only got one striker.
Either side, I suppose. I mean, Mahrez is Premier League ready. There'd be that argument. But he is 20 million more money, so...
You could play 4-4-2, Alexis next to Giroud, and then put Riyad Mahrez at right mid, and there you go. So.
Don't talk nonsense to
everything rude, everything, who is from here onwards known as ERRE.
Ear.
And says, don't care for Mahrez.
Fair enough.
I agree with you, ERRE.
That's almost like something that...
If you add up that over the course of a season, how many times we say his entire name, I'll take us to him, in the entire name, that's probably an entire podcast on its own, I was just saying, an hour of it.
It's a bit like that statement. I could almost imagine like a Carl Pilkington saying that. It's like, that Mahrez, don't care for him. Like, I can just imagine that. Well, Beck Rautista, I want to kill myself. Good luck with that. Put the system down.
No, don't do it.
No, please don't do that. We value your listeners too much. And without you, we can't get another thumbs up. So don't
do it.
Yeah. Gunnar and Cali, forward centre-back required. Do you agree that we can make it to January without the third signing? Yeah, I do, actually. That's a good point, that, Gunnar and Cali. A lot of people said at the start of the summer that we needed centre-back, a wide forward and a striker. I'm probably in the camp that says I don't think we needed all three. I think probably two. I think, really, for me, that's why you want a forward that can play wide. That's why I like Lacazette, because he can play any of those roles. And to draw a line under something that a lot of people tweeted me about the other day, Lyon have had a large cash injection from a Chinese, I know, who'd have thought, Chinese conglomerate that have paid a lot of money into their transfer fund. A lot of people tweeted me and said, that's it, Lacazette's done, blah, 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 that's not going to happen. It doesn't change a player. It doesn't change a player potentially wanting a move. Lacazette is very happy at Lyon, and he will happily stay if a move is not offered to him elsewhere. I think, personally, that if we actually got off our asses and agreed a fee, I still think the player would want to join us. So I don't think that changes anything. And all it does really is give Lyon a lot of money to replace him. So, you know, I wouldn't read into that too much. But
I was asking about the Croatian kid at Inter. That's Perisic, isn't it?
Perisic. Yeah, he's far from.
Well, they've also got one called Brozovic.
Oh, Brozovic is absolutely.
He said
class.
Left-sided. So which one is it?
That's Perisic. Oh. Yeah.
What do we think? He would be any good for us?
He'd be very good, but there's no way he's leaving Inter. That's a pipe dream. I said it on. I want to get Tom's thoughts actually quickly on this, because I said the other night on our pod. When was it? I think it was on Thursday, Danny. I think. I think we missed a trick with not attempting to sign Jose Rodriguez. Tom, you know your Spanish football.
Is he gone? Is he going? Is he staying?
Went to PSG and absolutely changed the game the other night. He was superb when he came.
James.
No. Yeah. Jose Rodriguez.
Oh, I thought you meant James Rodriguez.
No.
As in James Rodriguez.
No.
What got told off.
What did you think, Tom? Because it looks like PSG are going to use him as a false nine as well as wide.
Yeah.
I think Zidane was quoted as saying that he could do that for Real Madrid if he was used there. Yeah. It looks like they've kept Marco Asensio that you like instead and let Hesse go. So, you know, Hesse would have been one you might have had a little look at, because the price was a bargain.
Yeah, 20, 21 million, something like that. Yeah, I think he's a decent player. But it's just the thing that I like him a lot. It's not saying I don't like him. It's just the fact that when you're looking at likes of Lacazette and spending 35 million and this madness, quote madness, I said it, or what's going on, and you think of all the names that are mentioned, Hesse doesn't go in that league at all. But if it's going to be him or no one, I'd take him all day. He's very versatile, he's nippy, he's quick, he's tricky, and he can finish because he started off his career, I didn't get follow it that far back, but as a youngster, he did play a lot as a striker, and he can play that role, and he's very, very different to Giroud. So yeah, it's another one that I'm sure Wenger probably tried to sign as a kid but didn't get the contract, and you know how that goes, same with Messi and Ibrahimovic and all that, but it's just one we could have but didn't.
Callum wants to know, what manager you want to replace Wenger?
Bruce Rioch.
Came of the season.
Bruce Rioch is my choice.
Justin Edinburgh at Gillingham.
I think Bruce Rioch with Stuart Houston back in charge of the water bottles, and I want Owen Coyle putting the cones out, and Lee Bowyer as defensive personality coach. That's what I want. Danny, I never asked you this on Thursday. Yeah. I want to ask you this. Do you buy into this? I hate the fact that Arsenal fans have to have a bloody slogan to make something, you know, fun on Twitter. But do you buy into this madness crap? I mean, I don't. I buy into the fact that we are potentially trying to sign a big name player. But do you believe all this madness rubbish? I'm not sure I buy into it. Do you?
No. Like the audacious stunt. No, same thing. Just bullshit. But when you're 13 and they want to flog you 3 shirts every 12 months and get you to join as a red member and get another 40-50 quid off you, then all these poor youngsters see that, they go, oh yeah, it's going to be madness, it's going to be crazy, it's going to be all those other words that the cool kids use. Yeah,
predictable?
It's going to be bullshit. Oh, here we go, true gooner, you spend, we spend.
Oh gosh, yeah, get the placards out again, Jesus Christ. Lazy Python actually said that Wenger loses the first game of the season every season just to see what Arsenal Fan TV's reaction is. That's quite a good little, and I'm not having a go at them before anyone gets on my back, I'm just saying that was amusing.
Mel says madness equals keeping Wenger. Maybe that's what it is, the madness. We're going to sell Koscielny, Sanchez and Ozil, that'd be the man's madness.
I've seen madness live actually, so
it does have a feel of some of the noises he's making, to me, it has a feel that this might be the season that he decides to walk away. I do wonder. The bit I really wonder when eventually the day comes is who is going to get the blame for some of the years of neglect. It'd be very, very interesting to ever, if that ever comes out. I doubt it will, but you never know. You never know.
Does he really owe it? I mean, like...
No, he owes... No. As far as I'm concerned, and I know people will hate me for saying this, but I don't really care, he owes this club nothing. He owes absolutely nothing. He's given us some fantastic years, and arguably, some people could argue he's outstayed that welcome. You know, I get why people say that, but to say he owes the fans explanation or he has to answer to the fans is utterly, utterly moronic, in my opinion. You know, if you feel that he is at fault, that's right to your opinion, and I respect that. But to say he owes, you know, owes an explanation, it's just silly for me. Let's get some final thoughts then before we wrap this puppy up. We got Leicester next week. I believe it's at the King Power, whatever it is they're calling it this season. What's your thoughts heading into that, Tom? Do you foresee? I mean, do we get the Mustafi deal done in your opinion, and do you foresee any changes heading into that, injuries aside?
Well, if reports go by our ITK experts, Mustafi should sign by Monday, so that'll be good, and hopefully he'll slot straight into our side, so that'll be good to get an experienced player. I don't know if Koscielny will be back by then. I'm assuming one more week, and that should be enough to get him fit, I'd imagine. So. So, yeah, Koscielny and Mustafi centre back for me much more solid. But I think it's a good time to play Leicester, especially considering that they've come off the back of a defeat where it really highlighted a lot of their weaknesses. But you could also argue that's probably the worst time to play them, because now they're going to look at all those weaknesses and say, how can we plug those holes? So it'll be interesting. But obviously, we're a completely different animal to Hull, because we're a cannon and not a tiger. But that was terrible. That was awful. But no, I'll always remain confident. I just hope that we can get some players in and write today off, and hopefully this result will spark something, and maybe something positive can come out of a terrible result.
Yep, here, here. And Danny, sort of final thoughts from you. I mean, I think you've covered this previously, as I said the same, but I'm not gonna throw myself off a balcony after one result. It sucks, but you know, it's a loss. You just gotta go again now, haven't you? Just go for broke gates last and hope for a better result.
Well, it's going to be a slobber knocker because it's team in 16th against the team in 15th, bottom of the league clash. It's a relegation clash already.
6 pointer, yeah.
It's fucking disastrous, and we're going to go there, and we're probably going to get a draw, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
I can't see it getting any better anytime soon because Wenger isn't going to spend, is he? Because our friend Simon said that Wenger just keeps dilly-dallying, going, "Oh, I want this one. Oh, no, oh, that one's come up. That's better. Oh, no, that one's gone. I'll go back. Oh, no, that one's gone. Oh, maybe I want this one." That's the gist of what he was saying. Can't make his mind up. Dithers, dathers. And then by the time it's he's still off the potty but still shitting.
Oh, that's a lovely thought. I've heard a few people, Danny, genuinely say that they hoped we'd lose today to provoke reaction. It does make me laugh. I mean, I find that crackers. And also, the bit that makes me laugh the most, and this does make me chuckle, is the same people that absolutely detest the manager and insist on him being out are the same people that want the same manager to spend money. It just makes me laugh so much.
On top of the fact that they bemoan the fact he doesn't spend any money, and they think that if we lose, he'll start spending money.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah, it's like, you know, if anything, that'll only make him want to prove us wrong more. So I don't know. It's strange, but it is what it is. Nevertheless, I think we'll draw a line there. We've given you your hours, so that's how it's going to be this season. Just an hour of our time, because we're all busy people, I'm afraid. And you know, Danny's got food to get out of his beard and stuff. So yes, we'll be here after every game, for good or bad. And I believe, Danny, we're doing bloody transfer.
Was that your foot I just saw?
Mine?
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware of. My feet are on the floor.
No, I'm just looking back at what they're looking at. I'm sure I saw your foot being lifted up.
I had my feet up on the desk briefly, yeah.
Fucking animal.
Yeah, so your podcast is back on Thursday. First sort of post-game podcast. That's with Steve, Raj and Jeff, isn't it?
I think it is. Hold on. Daniel Cronin. AFTV is like NASCAR. You just watch it for the car wrecks.
God bless them and all they do. They're doing well for themselves.
They have a niche.
Yes, Danny, Jeff, Raj, and Steve.
I think it could well be. I don't know.
If of course Raj hasn't decided just to stay sailing the seas for the rest of the summer.
It was last in Norway, I think. Last time he sent us a picture of where he was and what. No, it wasn't. It was a something at Crystal Palace in the park, in the Palace Park. I don't know. Some combination of them words.
Oh. Was he eating gatto or?
He
some
was
kind
probably
of cake?
Face down in a gatto.
Well, who doesn't want to be face down in a ghetto?
Snuffling like a little piggy.
Truffles. So you'll be back on Thursday. We'll be back after the game on Saturday. Is it Saturday,
half
isn't it, Tom?
5, yeah.
Half past 5. So we'll be back after that. For good or bad, we'll be here. So, do tune in there. As usual, if you haven't already, please subscribe down there, somewhere down there. Press stuff and things happen and stuff like that. Excuse me. And, of course, at the AFC podcast is our Twitter, at ABW, or at the Berkey Radio, sorry, is our radio handle. I think that's everything plugged. Oh, and the blogs, of course, if you still want to read our season previews, even though we played a game.
Anyone predicted a home loss for the first game?
I wonder, but they're very good.
Simon and Luke.
Luke. Yes, and of course, as always, a big hats off to Mr. Jeff. The man is a legend, and he bleeds syrup. So that's
and
good.
And he smells of taco meat and Old Spice.
Yes, he does. Danny, would you like to see us out with our sponsor?
Yes, our sponsor this season, until we get a real one, is going to be...
Corey.
I was just talking to him earlier. He sent a picture of Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Corey and his cat Archie. We still have our fingers crossed that Archie will turn up, because he sent him to live with his parents and then he went missing. But cats do that. They go for a wander. So for Corey and for Archie.
Happy days. And at least the team that ABW sponsor got a win today, eh, Danny?
2-0, wasn't it?
Yeah,
boy. The mighty Callum scored 2.
Clean sheet on day one in Sunday League.
At least someone knows how to fucking win their first game of the season.
Damn right. I tell you, Wenger out, Carpenter in. Right, we'll leave it there. If you think Arsene's bad, imagine having me in charge. Jesus H. Right, thank you.
You've muted yourself again. That's it. At least Wenger wouldn't mute himself.
He's
You're muted.
On the screen as well.
And on the screen, look.
Has he done that? What is he doing?
It's like Arsenal is just falling apart in the first one of the season.
He's still muted.
Still can't hear you.
No, he's still muted. He's gone. It's absolutely fallen to pieces. As Liam said, it's madness. It's sadness, not madness.
No, we can't hear you.
Yep. Okay, we're going to cut it.
All right, I think he's going to say, yeah, Tom, you wrap the show up for us.
Okay. Thank you for listening to ABW Radio. It has been an absolute pleasure, and we love every single one of you, apart from you and you.
You must use the silver bullet. Delivery and block the case. We advise the sucker who get the sucker on sound. Retaliate in the dead, but they won't be down. Down or a rap to demolish, devastate. A win, produce, a predict, participate. Divide from the mic to detonate. Well, ladies, love in the corner and I'll wreck the bells. Seducing, seductive, go inside, no constructive. Sucker in the sight, so what? Destruct him. Detonation, ammo decides when to slice. And when it cuts perfect, it cuts precise. No time to break, tic tac toe or take. Select like a snake, all fuckers fake. Mystic neutralism, rhymes like a wizard. Motivate the motorcade for beat exorcism. Monday, multiplying mutineers, fabricating facey fuckers in fear. Managers evil, large like Everest. Evan executioner, evacuate pests. Evaluate my rhyme, evacuate the line of AG89. Was it mine? No, pacification in the rhyme of a nation. This new generation, cold corny creation. Parabiosis, right rhymes in the office. Bring in the lawyer, propel paranoia. Bring forth the guillotine. Bring forth the guillotine. Bring forth the guillotine! Experimental experience kill at an extent. My expert expertise comes over like cement. Hold my vibe proud like Excalibur. Not much better than demons or man comments are evidently my rhyme left evidence of death. You evolution rappers pointing in my breath. Proclamate my production, UK mystification. Party is lost into interrogation. Rhyme participation could cause an invasion. Trying to bring up the B-boyism in the nation. The way I say my lyrics, you think it's a race. Not much better than UK, US, they pick up the pace. In my lyrics, proceed to possession. Every next 12 inch guaranteed for progression. Now respect West was large, we didn't find. Now it's time to make room for silver bullets rhyme. Media fuckers lying by exploiters. Detonation ammo, propel paranoia. Wake up the clock and unleash the heat. Peel back your shirt and inject the beat. Cool like a silver, but not like Zeppelin. Living in sin if it's only the beginnings. All the apple songs I've overflowed, all the rhyme I own. I'm in the twilight zone. Known from the singles that vector me. I go to these rhymes in a deck to see. Giving you a chance to enhance your rants. But it's an effective! Bring forth the guillotine! Bring forth the guillotine! And I'll have to kill ya. Conquest of the earth, let's set in control. Hip-hop's gone beyond the Thunderdome. Rap-tap-tap, DJ Rip-Hop West. Door Transformers, scat. Connect, control, go advice the crack. Cross-cross cranium, quite that by lack. You're craving crueler, I'm a cool creation. Sustain the critic, case crash collision. Detonations, demonic, doing damnable deeds. Crossing down, isn't damage at a higher degree. Damnified, destruct, corrupt, and conduct. Danger in the ranks, do you dare to fight? Left in a daze, my beatbox dark side. You're stuck fast while I'm dead in damnulation. We'll spill while the rhyme just builds. Human reputation as a rap resident. Reserve or resign, rec or requiem. Resistance is relevant, we retaliate. Resurrection of rap restored up to date. Give me the mic, divide restoration. Construct my lyrics, total domination. Said I'd return, now I'm back to burn. I can sign it to learn how to run a firm. Damnation, ammo, full moon, scratch. Bring forth the guillotine. Bring forth the guillotine.
show evilly, claim vengeance.
Have you survived this terrifying ordeal inside the outer limits of Wrath? Or would you like to see the silver bullets return and serve suckers? You can now sit back and wipe the cold sweat from your brow. Your blood pressure has returned to normal. Stay tuned and patient for the next episode of the Triple Element in the Outer Zone.